I would say, epitome that we have before we come to know the Savior, or that emptiness that we have. And oftentimes we try to fill it with the things of the world, but God has put that empty peace in us for us to look for Him, for us to find Him, and for us to accept Him as our Savior. And when we do that, then He can use us. But if we don't come to know the Savior, then He can't use us like He wants to, right? And so I also brought another battery. And this is for a different drill, and most drills don't have batteries that are compatible with each other. And what I think is really neat is that often those that have not yet come to know the Savior, they try to fill that void with the things of this world. And often they get something that fits somewhat, but doesn't fit fully. And they spend their entire life constantly looking for something to fill that void, and they can never find something to fill that void. And so tonight, if you have not yet come to know the Savior, I would encourage you to, because all the things in this world will never give you what you need. You will always continue to look for something more to fill that void, and you will always be left wanting, looking for something to fill you. And more than that, you will never be able to be truly used as God really wants to use you. And so tonight I want to talk about using or losing what you've been taught. And the most important thing tonight before all of that is knowing for sure that you've come to know the Savior so that this message can truly apply to you. Because if you use what God has given you, whether it be what your teachers, what Sunday school teachers have taught you, whether it be what the pastor has taught you, whether it be what you've read from God's word, or whether it be what you have been taught by other people around you, God gives you those things in your life, which I would use as an analogy, screws. And He wants you to use those things that He's taught you, and He wants to help you build and make something in your life. He wants to use you in a great and mighty way. But before any of that is concerned, if you don't know the Savior, then you cannot build something that lasts a lifetime. You cannot be truly used of God like He wants to use you. Now, this drill is pretty hard. I could take some screws and I could whack them into some wood, but it's not going to work like it's supposed to. And so the important thing tonight is to know for sure that you've come to know the Savior. And then beyond that, are you going to use or are you going to lose those things that God is teaching you, whether it be by His word, whether it be by the pastor, whether it be by teachers, or whether it be by God speaking through people you know? And so the title of tonight's message is, will you use or lose what you've been taught? And one of the things that I love about God's word is that He has given us a variety of different people that we can learn from. He's given us a variety of people that we can learn from as far as what not to do. A variety of people to learn from of what to do, what to watch out for, what to watch for, what God expects for us to do. And God has given us just this variety of people to learn from. And if you're in the habit of writing down quotes, I thought of this really neat quote. The Bible gives us an array of people who are either faithful followers or wayward wanderers. Over and over and over again, from the beginning to the very end of the Bible, we have an array of people that teach us a number of different things that God wants us to learn and to use in our lives. And so tonight, I want to ask you, will you use those things that God teaches you, or will you lose them? And tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to look at two disciples. The first disciple we're going to look at is Judas Iscariot. And what he is going to do tonight is he's going to give us the very first point, which is the marks of those who lose what they've been taught. And so we're going to look at Judas Iscariot. And we're going to see a man who got to sit under the teaching of the Savior, who got to hear from the Savior what He was expecting him to do, what He wanted to do with him, and what He wanted to accomplish in his life. And we get to look at Judas Iscariot, and we get to see someone who lost what he was taught. And we get to also look at a couple marks that we can look out for to see if that's consistent with us, if we have any marks like that in our life. And so the first we'll find in verse 26. And just for context, this is the Last Supper, and the disciples have asked Jesus who it is that is going to betray him. And if you look at verse 26, it says, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sup. When I have dipped it, And when he had dipped this up, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. The first point tonight, the first mark that you would need to look out for would be ignoring the Lord's moving in their life. The first mark of someone who loses what they're taught is someone who ignores the Lord's moving. And one of the biggest ways that someone learns those things that God wants them to do in this life, learns how to live an effective Christian life, learns how to effectively win people to Christ, how to effectively disciple people for Christ, how to live a whole life that's pleasing and honorable to God. The way that people do that is by listening and letting God move and work in and through their lives. Being open to God, putting his finger on something that we really don't want to change, but know that God wants us to change it, and saying, Lord, I will change that if that's what I need to do. But one of the marks of someone who loses what they've taught or doesn't even listen to the instruction of the Savior is someone who does not even listen, who ignores the Savior, who doesn't care what the Savior has to say. But even if they do, they only care about it when it's convenient for them or when it works for their benefit or for their favor. And so if that's true, then tonight I would ask you this. Are you open and are you truly available to the Lord pointing anything in your life that needs to be worked on and needs to be fixed? And you say, Lord, I will work on it and I will let you fix that. If you were to speak from someone that's younger than me, that you're going to use them to say something that I need to hear, something that you wouldn't really think a young person would know, but you use them to teach me something, or maybe it'd even be an older person. Whatever the case may be, you're open and you're available to listening to God's moving and working and also his teaching. And so one of the first marks of someone who loses what they're taught is someone who ignores the Savior. And if you look at Judas Iscariot and you see what he did, you can see very clearly that he ignored what the Savior told him. The Savior clearly told him who he was, what he wanted to do in his life, what he was expecting to do through and in Judas. But yet Judas ignored it. And we see the result of that. He lost everything. And he even lost his life. And so one of the first marks of someone who loses what they've been taught is someone who ignores the Lord's moving their life. The second mark of someone who loses what they've been taught is that they leave the door open to sin and the devil. Look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, "And after the sup, Satan entered into him and said, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly." And so when I first read this verse, I thought, the devil doesn't just enter somebody right off the cuff. And let me preface by saying this. As a child of God, demons nor the devil himself can enter you or do anything to you, unless God allows them to hurt you, but they cannot enter into you or possess you or do anything like that. So right off the cuff, you can see that Judas Iscariot was not a child of God. But not only that, the most unfortunate thing that you can see from this verse is the fact that Judas Iscariot most obviously had already begun to allow sin in his life. He had already opened the door for sin to come in, and in time allowed the devil to enter into his life and to use him as he wanted to. I gave a lesson to my students a while back, and I said, as you go through life, you're going to have to be very, very cautious of the devil just trying to get a little crack in that door into your heart to just be able to slip that little sin that you thought was little at the time but becomes much more severe and much bigger in the end, but to just slip that in and for you to be okay with it and for you to let it in and for you to allow it to grow and to become a major problem in your life to the point where that sin distracts you to the point where the devil just pushes that door wide open and it's just another sin after another sin after another sin after another sin. And before you know it, you're in a place that you never thought you would be. You're regretting all the things that you've done and you're thinking, why am I here? And how can I change the situation? The most important thing is first and foremost, not even opening that door, even a crack for the devil to get any sin in your life. And if you know tonight that there is a sin in your life that you need to work on and you need to get rid of, I would encourage you to get that sin out and shut that door and not to open it again. And one of the things that happens with us, because we're sinful creatures and because we live in the flesh and we can't always live in the spirit, is that from time to time we're going to fall. And from time to time the devil's going to get a sin in our life. But we should always be on guard and always be ready to get it out as quickly as we possibly can so it does as little damage as possible. And so for Judas Iscariot, it wasn't just the devil had him. It was a slow process of him allowing sin into his life to the point where that door was wide open. And all the devil had to do was walk right in. And he utilized them exactly how he wanted to. And so the second mark of someone who loses what they've been taught is someone who allows sin in their life and then eventually allows the devil to use them. Now, one thing I would like to do by prefacing is if you would just flip over to John chapter 12 and you would look at verse 6. John chapter 12 and verse 6. This is, in this verse, John clearly defines what I was telling you about Judas already allowing sin in his life. Look at verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put in therein. And so I looked into this and I tried to make sure that I had a good, accurate assumption, and then not only just an assumption, but an accurate statement to say from this. Judas Iscariot was stealing from the money that they had to use in the ministry and the work of the Savior. He had already begun to allow sin to be present in his life. And like I said before, it only took a little bit for that time, for over the course of time, for the devil to finally get enough in for him to open that door wide open and for the devil to fully utilize him. And so that's another mark of someone who loses what they've been taught. Let's look for the third one. So go back over to John chapter 13 and look at verses 29 and 30. Or 28 and 29, excuse me. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. The third mark of those who lose what they've been taught are those that do not understand what is at hand. Now, I like how God put this in his word, not just for the fact that you could derive a principle from it, okay, but also for the fact that it calls back to the fact that Judas Iscariot did not understand what was at hand. If he truly understood why the Savior was there, he would not have done what he had done. If he truly understood all the things that the Savior had taught him, he would not have reacted the way that he did, and the devil would not have used him the way that he did. Now, we know that all these things happen because that's how God had planned things to happen. But nonetheless, the point is still consistent that he allowed sin to be present in his life, and he allowed the devil to use him exactly how he wanted to. But not only that, he did not understand what was happening at the time. He did not understand that the Savior was there to stop the devil's hold on this earth in such a mighty way, to bring to people that free gift of eternal life, to bring to people a hope for a future, to bring to people a community that they could be a part of, a group of people that they could depend on as they walk through this life, and a group of people that they could be a part of, which is known as the church, that could draw them and push them closer to the Savior. Judas Iscariot did not understand what was at hand. And the mark of someone who does not listen to what they've been taught is someone who does not understand what is at hand. Because as we speak here and now, you have the world, you have the devil, and you have his demons, and you have the Savior and his angels, and we as Christians that avail ourselves to be used of him in constant war for the lost souls of this world. That is exactly what's happening, and that is what is at hand. And Judas Iscariot did not understand that, nor did he accept it. And so one of the best marks to look out for in your life is, do you realize what is at hand? Do you realize what God wants to do with you? Do you realize how much he wants to mightily empower you to do what he's called you to do? And then there's a fourth mark, and this is the final mark for those that lose what they've been taught. Look at verse 30. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. The last mark of those who lose what they've been taught is someone who is hasty and unteachable. So the hasty part comes in the fact that Judas Iscariot quickly left. But if you read the scriptures before this, he had already talked to the religious leaders about how he might betray the Savior. And he had already made that deal for the 30 pieces of silver. And so as soon as the Savior pinpointed to him what he had already determined to do, he left immediately. But if you look at the other part of that statement, he was hasty and unteachable. Unteachable. How was he unteachable? If you look at all the things that the Savior had taught up until this point, if Judas Iscariot had truly listened to those things, then he would have realized, like I said before, who Jesus was, what he wanted to do with him, and that this wasn't the only time he was coming, but that he was going to come again as that king that they had been looking for. But this time he came as a suffering servant. This time he came to bring life everlasting to those that would call upon his name. And Judas Iscariot was unteachable in that he did not listen nor understand it, nor did he accept it. And one of the marks of someone who loses what they're taught is someone who is hasty and is unteachable. Someone who's hasty to say, oh, well, I don't really need to do that. Oh, I don't need to work on that. Oh, that's not a problem that I have. Oh, I'm okay with this and I'm okay with that. But not only that, someone who's unteachable. Whenever God speaks through a teacher, the preacher, or maybe even a friend, they're unwilling to listen and they're unwilling to accept the fact that they have things that they need to work on. Because even if you're working on everything that the Lord pinpoints in your life, you're still going to be working all the way until the day that you leave. Because God is always going to be working on you to draw you closer to him, but also to make you more like him. And so that is another mark of those that lose what they've been taught. So let's go over to Matthew chapter 16, and we can look at another disciple, a disciple by the name of Peter. And Peter gives us a great, great illustration of the marks of those who use what they've been taught. Matthew chapter 16. Look at verses 13 through 19. Verses 13 through 19. I'll start in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Before I get into the points, I'd like to say this. When you read scripture, there's always an overarching truth in a verse, a series of verses, or a chapter, or maybe over the course of a book. But along the way, there are a multitude of principles that you can drive, a multitude of applications, but also, I like to call them bonus nuggets. And I've talked to my students about this a multitude of times. That as you read through scripture, if you read the same chapter over again, or the same series of verses, God will give you those little bonus pieces that you can draw and you can use in your life. And you have to choose to accept that and to take it and to use it like God wants you to. So before we get into this, I just wanted to preface by saying that. And the first mark of someone who uses what they've been taught is someone who sees and wants the Lord's moving in their life. If you look at Peter and you look at the life that he lived, he failed and he failed and he failed. But he never, not once, said, "Oh, I'm going to reject what God is teaching me in this moment." Every time that the Savior corrected Peter, Peter fixed it. Peter moved on from it, and Peter continued to follow the Savior. So one of the marks of someone who uses what they've been taught is someone who sees and wants the Lord's moving in their life. Simon Peter is a great example of someone who wanted the Savior to move in his life. And even with all of his shortcomings and all the mistakes that he made in his life, he still wanted the Savior to use him, and he still wanted the Savior to move and work in and through him. And so if that is the case for you here tonight, then that is a great mark to have. To avail yourself to the Lord's moving and working in and through you, even when you understand, like Simon Peter eventually did, that you are unable and that you are incapable of doing it on your own. And that in and of yourself, you can't. But with the power of God, you most certainly can. And that's exactly what Simon Peter saw. And that's one of the marks that you can see for someone who uses what they've been taught. Look at verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The second mark that you can see is someone who leaves the door open for the Lord. In verse 18, you see that God wants to use Peter in a great and mighty way. And we already talked about it before, that Peter wanted the Savior to use him. And Peter was open and available for the Savior to use him. And if you read on beyond the four gospel records to the book of Acts and Romans and all the other epistles, you get to read about all the great and mighty things that God was able to do with Peter. Because Peter opened the door for the Savior to come into his life and to use him as he wanted to. And Peter was completely content and completely okay with the Lord pointing on anything that he needed to, and Peter fixing it and continuing to move on with the Savior. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you a list of all the awesome things that God was able to do with Peter. And in much the same way, God wants to do great and mighty things with you. I gave you that illustration with that drill and with those screws. That drill, like I said, represents you. And that battery being in that is you as a Christian. And God has given you the power and the ability to build something. And he gives you a series of things in your life, teachings and instructions that are those screws. He gives those to you so you can construct, so you can build something for him. So he can use you in a way that you never thought possible. He can accomplish in your life something you never thought you could accomplish. I don't know how many times I've told my students this over this year and last year, that God desperately wants to do something in your life. He wants to make something of you you thought you never could be and do something with you you never thought you could do. And along the way, there's going to be those ebbs and those flows. Along the way, the Savior is going to be with you in the highs and the lows of this life. He's going to be with you even when the devil and the world seems like they are crashing down on you and pushing you down as far as they can. The Savior is still there with you to help you, to make of you something you thought you never could be. And what he loves to do, what the Savior absolutely loves to do, is he loves to see you draw closer to him in those times of need so he can show you his power in your life. So he can show you that the devil and the demons and this entire world don't even hold a candle to what he can do in and through you. And no matter if the whole world stood against you, he could get you through all of that and still accomplish what he wanted to do with you. And so if you open that door and you have that mark in your life of opening the door time and time again to the Savior and letting him do what he wants to do with you, you can build something that's worth building, and you can build something that lasts a lifetime. Not of your own works, not of your own ability, but because you availed yourself to be used of God. And so that's two marks. Let's look at the other two marks. And these are really, really good marks too of a Christian and of someone who uses what they've been taught. Look at verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The third mark of someone who uses what they've been taught is someone who sees that there is a war at hand. And so in verse 18, the Lord emphasizes the fact that he's going to build his church. And then he also says after that, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So this means that no matter how much the devil and no matter how much the world moves against the church, they're not going to find success. But not only that, this is the cool twofold part of this. Not only that, he will give us as Christians, if we open the door to him, the ability to go to those people that the world and some Christians have deemed as too far gone. For those that, if you can picture it in your mind, are on the other side of the gates, that are on the brink of going to hell itself. God has given us as Christians, if we avail ourselves to be used of him, to go and break down those doors and to reach those people who have been deemed to be too far gone, that have been deemed to be useless and unusable. And so God can make them someone that they thought they could never be, and to prove that there is no one that is too far gone for God not to use. And that's exactly what God wants to do with all of us. He doesn't just want to build something with our life. He wants to use us as an example of how he can work, not just in our lives, but in the lives of others, in the lives of those that, like I said before, the world and other Christians have said are too far gone and are not usable. That's what God wants to do with us. And so when you look back at that verse, I kind of got sidetracked for a second there, but you see that God clearly instructs Peter, and he says, listen, I'm going to teach you everything that you need to know to be able to teach the church and to teach those disciples that you make after me. Because Jesus wasn't just in the business of making his own disciples. He was in the business of discipling his disciples and being able to make disciples so that it would continue to go, right? And so one of the neat things about these two verses is that not only does the Savior show his disciples then and there that he's going to do a great and mighty work, he also shows them that he's going to give them everything they need to do what he has called them to do. But also he emphasizes the fact that he's going to instruct them in the one way that you can be saved, and that is by the shed and innocent blood of Jesus Christ, by repenting of your sins and accepting Christ as your Savior. And Jesus clearly said that. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so in this verse, you see that the Savior is emphasizing that he's going to teach them everything they need to know to be able to teach others also. And so one of the marks of someone who uses what they've been taught is someone who sees that there is a war at hand and that the Savior wants to use us and that we can be a part of that and we can accomplish great and mighty things for him in that war. And so if you continue to the latter end of this portion of Scripture in verse 19 again, I'm going to read it one more time. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The last mark of someone who uses what they've been taught is someone who is ordered and teachable. Now, one of the awesome things about the Savior is that he does all things in order. He has a set order in which he does things, and it's so simple. Salvation itself is so simple a child can understand it. And even a young boy and a young girl reading the Scriptures could learn a great deal about the Savior. He has made things so orderly and so simple that we all could learn from it, from even young to old, right? And so in that, a Christian and someone who uses what they've been taught is someone who is ordered and teachable, someone who follows the direction of God in our life, and someone who listens to him and his instructions in our life. Like I said before, with Judas Iscariot, he was not teachable. He heard all the things that Jesus had said, and he ignored them. But you have Simon Peter, who listened to all the things that the Savior said, and he held on to them, and he applied them, and he was used in a great and mighty way. And so just like I had said earlier, where in the Bible you see that there are faithful followers and there are wayward wanderers, you have Judas Iscariot being that wayward wanderer who lost it all, who did not use what he was taught. But then you have Simon Peter, who is a faithful follower, that listened to the Savior, learned from the Savior, used what he was taught, and was used in a great and mighty way. And so let me just give you a couple of the accomplishments that these two men had in their life. Now, this wasn't by their own work. This was by the work of God in and through them. But you can see how much more and how much God really wants to use you if you use those things that you're taught. So let's look at Judas Iscariot. You have two things that he accomplished. First of all, he was the money holder. We already know he didn't do that job well because that was that stepping stone of sin into where he ended up finding himself in the end. And then there's the second one. And this was the one that I really didn't understand at first, but it really does make sense. He performed miracles because the Savior sent the disciples out two by two. Judas Iscariot was a disciple. And even though he didn't follow the Savior faithfully, even though he didn't accept him, God still used him to perform miracles. And so even though he didn't avail himself to the use of God, God still did something with him. Something that we read about in the Scriptures. But now let's look at someone who was faithful and who used the things that they were taught. Simon Peter healed a man lame from birth. Peter's shadow healed people. Success caused Jewish jealousy. Not just that, it caused jealousy amongst other groups of people. It caused other groups of people to drive him out of cities and towns where he was preaching the word of God. The Holy Spirit comes through Peter's laying on of hands. So God used him to instruct and then also to impart the Holy Ghost. And then if you keep reading, dealt with Simon a sorcerer, raised Dorcas to life. Peter is imprisoned and was miraculously released. Confronted Ananias and Sapphira, preached on the day of Pentecost. Conversion of Cornelius and his household. You have a multitude of examples and examples of what God can do with someone who uses what they're taught. Simon Peter lived a life full, lived a life worth living because he listened to what he was taught and he used what he was taught, and God was able to use him. That's what God wants to do with you. He wants to do great and mighty things in and through your life. And so I would encourage you to look through these marks and say, do I have the marks of someone who uses what I've been taught? Or do I have the marks of someone who loses what I've been taught? And if you have a variety of both, then that's your homework for this evening, is to slowly work through getting rid of those marks of someone who loses what they've been taught to someone who has all the marks of those that use what they've been taught. And so this would be the takeaway for tonight, very simply. Decide every day, not just today, every day, to use what you've been taught to do what God desperately wants to do with you. So not just today, but every day from here on out, whenever the Savior teaches you something from his word, from a Sunday school teacher, from the pastor, or whoever it may be, I would encourage you to do this. To say, every day, whatever it is that you show me, Lord, I'll listen, and I'll work on it, and I will follow you as faithfully as I can. So you can use me like you want to. And so I can live a life worth living. My grandpa used to say this all the time. He said that the Bible is an acronym itself. Basic instructions before leaving earth. It's the basic blueprint on how to live a whole life. A whole life. A life worth living that's both pleasing and honorable to God. Following the Savior, listening to what he's taught you, and following through on those things can have such an impact on your life. It can let you build something that lasts a lifetime. So I'm going to finish with praying, and then I'll turn things over to Pastor.